Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, Steve isn't here today, but I'm going to take his spot just for this hour of hosting radio. I'm here with Mylan Yurkovich. Hi, Mylan.
And who
and
are
my
you?
My name is Larry Sonnenberg.
That's right. The associate host introduces himself. If not, I was going to do it, Larry.
Thank
and you.
You
are the president of New Life Ministries.
And so I call him the grand poobah of
you
New
really?
Life.
Moving right along, that other voice was Dr. Alice Minton.
There you
Hello,
go.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, nice to be with you.
Who is turning into a social media queen. Just thought I'd
Yes, she's
in.
Already taken pictures of this crew in here and has posted them. And
It is
know.
True. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram trying to give out helpful information every day.
All right.
Nice.
I just returned from Everyman's Battle Workshop yesterday. It was in Dallas, Texas this weekend. And just a couple of things I wanted to comment on that before I switch gears on you. It is such an amazing workshop. Guys come in, and it is so evident the change that happens to them in 48-hour period.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so evident. And there was one man when Jason was talking about full disclosure, and he went to his group, and he asked a question of Jason, and he looked angry when he asked it. And Jason handled it really well, but the question prompted him to, in his group, right after that session, he told his counselor, there is no way in the world I'm going to do full disclosure. As the group talked and they shared and the guys talked about what they were going to do or how they might do it, by the end of that group session, he said, you know, with the counselor helping me, I might be willing to do that. And then he got up yesterday at testimony time, and he chose to share. And he had had a conversation with his wife. And I don't know what the whole conversation was, but he kind of broke up and said, my wife said all she wants for Christmas is me back. And I thought that was really cool.
Wow.
That kind of progress, long distance, could even be made in a weekend.
Because the sad reality is, excuse me, Alice, I didn't mean to cut you off, is that when a person is addicted to anything,
yeah,
but in this case, pornography or illicit sexual activity, you are not present for your spouse or your children,
yeah,
or your employment. You are gone in your head. You're always anticipating and thinking. So I love that she would love to have him back for Christmas.
Yeah.
And full disclosure, if you don't know what that is a full confession. It's laying everything out for your mm-hmm. spouse about how you have hurt them and what you've been deceiving them over. And it, as terrifying as it is to do that, folks, I have heard from so many women who received a full disclosure, and it was an enormous relief, and it started the rebuilding process, and it demolishes the shame that the couple is carrying as well. It's one of God's major tools
yeah.
to break through.
And men are afraid that disclosure will end their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason has told them, your marriage is already broken and apart, and it's not going to get restored unless you do that full disclosure. Women will put up with the truth. They won't put up with the constant mm-hmm. lies.
Well, what I've seen multiple times in my office are partial full truth disclosures that were actually a lie because they didn't contain information.
Right.
Work with them for a year. A year later, a new piece of information comes out. man, oh, is yeah. the
that
spouse,
delay is so painful.
Chinese torture.
It is horrible. And for the woman to have the ability, or the male,
yeah,
in whichever way this goes, to have the ability to say, okay, I'll rebuild trust now, it was just the rug was pulled out from underneath.
Okay, we're going to take some calls right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we are back. And before I take a call, I just want to remind folks, year-end giving, this is December, and December is a big deal because tax deductibility seems to drive a lot of giving. I'm not sure that's the motive that God was hoping would be for people making gifts. But it helps a lot for a lot of people, for a lot of ministries. People give larger than normal gifts. They might add an extra gift than what they were expecting. And some people make stock donations and things like that. And I just want to encourage you that as you consider giving, please consider New Life. We give scholarships to people that help immensely. We are able to do what we do, and people get the Holy Spirit life change that they're looking for because that first domino fell and we're able to do all the things that we do at New Life to make things happen. So we'll appreciate that as you consider giving this year end. But right now, let's go to Carmen in San Jose, California. She listens on KFAX. It's a good station we've been on for a long time. Hello, Carmen. How can we help you?
Hi. Good morning. I'm calling in. I was calling in for counselor in our area. I am raising my granddaughter. I adopted her from birth. And last year, she told me that her brother, my grandson, had been sexually abusing her. And so she's been raised in church in the Lord and reading the Word and everything. She's gone to a counselor, but I want a Christian counselor because I give her everything that I think I can, meaning, pray with her and things like that. But what she says is, where was God when this was happening? I cried out to God, and He didn't hear me. He didn't stop. And so stop it. And I don't know how else to help her.
How old is she?
She just turned 14.
And you say it was her older brother that was the one that abused
her?
And how old is he?
Yes, sir. He just turned 30.
Okay.
Did you say 30?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, we can help you with a counselor after we give you a little bit of counsel here, a little bit of advice. But then if you hold on, okay. we'll transfer you to somebody that can help you get a counselor up in your area because I know we have some up there.
Okay.
And Carmen, if there's any adjustment you can make, we're hearing static on your end, so we just want to be able to hear you more clearly. Would you tell us, is the abuse ongoing as far as you know?
No. When she told me what had happened last year, we went to the police station and they did everything they had to do. And then I got a hold of my grandson and I confronted him. And so I've never seen a crime. I'm not trying to baby him or anything, but he did break. And I asked him, to do the right thing. And he turned himself in. So he's been in prison a few months, but he's been locked up since that day.
Carmen, do you know that you're a hero for your family?
I didn't feel bad, but I know that, a lot in our family, it's weird, but a lot of us have been sexually abused, and it's like a curse on our family, and I prayed against that, and one of my daughter's boyfriends said, why would you turn him in? I said, because this curse has to stop. And he needs help. And so it was just the Lord. It's just God, the Holy Spirit, that led me to do that.
You're both
broken, so shattered.
You're both a hero, but I bet you also feel like a bad guy or are treated that way because you were part of your family member going to prison. So it's a very complex mm-hmm. position that you're in. It's actually not strange that multiple people in your family have been sexually abused, because you're right. A family becomes more vulnerable once it's taken place with one person, and it's more likely to happen again and people to be victimized.
Again and again.
Yes. What is your question for us about the situation now?
She asked about her daughter wondering where God was in all this and why he let this happen.
Yeah, I don't know how to answer her, because I've been saved for 40 years, and I've gone through trials and trials and trials, but this one, it just took me away, and I had to really seek God, because I can't answer her. I don't know, but I know that God is good, and I know God didn't let this. He was not the one that allowed it to happen. But I know that what the devil meant for evil, God will turn it around for good. It's just through this time, I don't know how to help her.
It's a question, of course, born out of pain. And in some ways, there is no adequate answer to this question. But there are two things we can do in response to it, Carmen. One is to ask for more of your granddaughter's heart in this, your adopted daughter. So tell me about how mm-hmm. you feel like God has abandoned you and has not been here for you, because it certainly looks like that in so many situations in our family where there's been abuse. And I want to hear how you feel like God is not here for you. And listening more to her heart is probably more important than a specific answer, because that is part of the answer. It's bringing about more healing to her. But I do see another answer to this, which is you, Carmen. You have been God's hands and feet in this situation. You have come in as a rescuer to this family and as part of the hand of justice to this family as well. And you yourself said that you did this because of some of God's prompting and leading in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
That explanation is part of what your daughter should hear, but it should come after inviting her to tell you more about how she feels abandoned by God.
Anything you want to add, Mylon?
Yes, I do, Carmen. Again, thank you for doing all the right things to talk to your daughter and to contact the police and to really make sure that he could feel the consequences for his behavior. And that's one of the mm-hmm. roles of the government, is to be a heavy force that causes fear in people, to help them realize what they did was wrong and they need to change their ways. But it's also important to realize mm-hmm. that none of us are fully protected in this world. Because we're Christians doesn't mean we have an invisible shield around us that prevents anything bad from happening to us. A lot of people believe that. They believe that if they just love the Lord and worship Him, that nothing bad's going to happen to them, that only blessings will rain down. And we live, and here's your answer, we live under this thing called a curse. We live under a broken judicial injunction that is aware of our brokenness. And as a penalty, the Bible says that God subjected all the creation to futility, to places of problems and frustrations. And our life on this world is a world that is not like heaven. It is kind of, because we know the Savior and the King. But we are not protected from difficult things happening to us. But two things. One, I have to trust the sovereignty of God, you know, as to when and how long I will live and when He will take my life and the things that will happen to me. Number two, we also have to be careful and set up protections around the people around us. We have to ascertain and try to evaluate what kind of a culture, familial culture, am I in? What kind of a community culture am I in? How much restraint does that culture show toward young ladies? I have raised two daughters myself, and I know they were both subjected to threats because they were beautiful girls. And so we set up protections around them and taught them how to protect themselves, because there will be all kinds of guys that will want to cross that line and violate a young lady. And so we have to make sure that we set up the protections. God isn't the guard standing at the door stopping all of that. He is in terms of his providence, but we also have to guard ourselves. And that would be, and this is a difficult topic, but we really have to understand that God is a God that also tells us to be on guard.
Carmen, I hope that helped, and I hope when we hang up from you, the call screener can help you by getting you to somebody to help you find the counselor.
Yeah, we have counselors in San Jose that would be very helpful, Carmen. Thank you for your call.
What should we send her? I was thinking of healing as a choice, but I don't know if there's something better.
Your life back.
Okay. That's coming to you, Carmen. Thank you so much. Let's see. Let's go to Patrick. Patrick is in Madison, Wisconsin, listens on Sirius XM channel, on the Family Channel, channel 131. Hello, Patrick. How can we help you?
Oh, yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Well, I'm a 51-year-old man, and I got three kids, married, and I'm in sales, so I travel a lot, really Monday through Friday, and then home on the weekends and stuff, and, you know, I've been born again for about 5 years, and I've kind of fallen into, you know, like a lot of drinking, because being up in Wisconsin, and, you know, that's just part of the culture there. You got, you know, probably 12 of the top 20 drinking towns in America, and you know, so when I'm traveling with technical people or with customers and stuff, it's like people want a drink, and you have a few drinks, and, you know, it kind of blows your witness, and you know, you start with a couple, and then it just kind of gets a little bit more and more, and anyway, you know, and then you know, when I got born again and stuff, I pretty much like quit looking at any kind of porn or anything. You know, before that it was no big deal, but then, you know, you go on a, I don't know if you want to say a binge or whatever, with it, you get back to the hotel room, and then, you know, your guard is down, and you end up looking at that, and, you know, in the morning there's just a lot of guilt and shame and things surrounded by that. And, you know, I kind of think about it. I've struggled a lot with, like, self-confidence throughout my life. My mother is emotionally abusive, and, you know, she when I was real young, she would have like these fits of rage where she would just grab anything, you know, a belt or a spoon or a hairbrush or a whatever, and start whacking, and it was scratch, kick, pull hair, anything she could do. And then I finally got old enough where I could like hold her arms where she couldn't hit me.
Patrick,
she's narcissistic.
Patrick, you went through so much with your mom, and I hear you're trying to be a good Christian man, and you're struggling with drinking, and that leads to a struggle with pornography. Tell us, how can we help you with this today?
The thing is, you know, this relationship with my mom, it trickles down. There's three of us kids, and even the grandkids, and, like, nobody wants to be around her, and she has a beautiful lake place up north, and we're like, she's like, I can't believe none of you want to come up. And it's like, nobody wants to be around here. I mean, even my kids run out of the room when she calls to talk to me, if she ever calls. Usually it's me calling her. But, yeah, I guess I just, you know, the obvious answer is, I guess, for the drinking and stuff, well, you need to get into AA or counseling. But I think there's something deeper, you know, that kind of relates back to some of these emotional abusive things, you know,
Patrick,
and it's just like a weight.
Patrick, you're a step ahead of the game, because you've recognized the issue, and you know you have to do something. And there's a lot of people that would just continue drinking and go down a spiral path, and you know, I'm grateful that you've realized there's something more to it. And Alice and Mylon are going to speak into that right after this break. You can hear the music. But I want to thank you for calling, and your self-realization that there's something going on. You identified your mom as maybe part of toxicity that might be causing some of this in your past. But you hold the line, and we're going to come back with you. I'm here with Milan Jurkovic, Alice Benton. We're going to be here an hour after this hour. So if you want to join us, call us at 800-229-3000. And we'll just keep doing this. We'll be back right after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back, and we're talking with Patrick. Patrick is realizing that he's might be having a drinking problem here and some of the issues that maybe have promoted that. And Milan, you got some things to say.
Well, Patrick, thank you for your call. I think the key is that you talked about insecurity, and insecurity starts way back, often when a parent is unkind, abusive, and in your case, your mom should have been arrested, and she should have not been able to continue to do that. But it created insecurity, and that insecurity is still there. You have to prove yourself to people. Perhaps by being their friend or always doing something that they do so they don't reject you. And so we drink because we don't want to be rejected, or we drink because our income, you know, relies on those clients and we want to stay in their good graces. So insecurity is the key. And I want to talk about your mom here. We'll talk about the drinking perhaps later. Maybe Alice or Larry can do that. But understanding why you drink. It's, I can't say no to these people. I can't say I'm having one and then I'm having Coke after that because I don't want to make them not like me. But there was a book written by an Edwin Friedman, and the title of the book was A Failure of Nerve. And it is one of my favorite books of the last decade because he was actually a rabbi, but he was a corporate consultant in the D.C. area. And he said every organization has a collective failure of nerve because the organization or the group, it could be a family, it could be a church, it could be a synagogue, rotates around a toxic person. And they are in orbit around a toxic person. And that toxic person is the axis about which everybody rotates. And there's a collective failure of nerve for the entire family to say, stop. Mom, we got a serious problem here. You know, there's a reason we don't want to come to your beautiful lake house. And the grandkids run from the room when your voice comes on the speakerphone. Did you know that's happening, Mom? And, Mom, you need to understand you still have, and you're surprised, you're shocked, which tells me you don't have any self-awareness as to the damage you've caused in our family. But there's a failure of nerve to deliver that message. And if you want to be in relationship with us, several things are going to have to happen. Number one, there needs to be an apology to myself and my siblings for the way we were treated. And a true repentance. Otherwise, we're not going to want to have an adult relationship with you. When you do that, self-esteem builds in you like a volcano, like a rocket. It is very strong because when we can have a voice, an adult voice with our parents, we can have an adult voice with anybody, even the techies and the people you're trying to sell to. We can say, no, I'm not going to have another drink.
Ellis?
I hear what you're saying there, but I have tried to be just point blank honest with her, and I have said it calmly. I've said it logically. I have one time tried screaming at her. One time I came to her just weeping and giving her examples of how she just stands there with her hands like in the air, shaking her head, saying, I don't know where you're getting this narrative, Patrick.
And so the answer to her is, Mom, Patrick, the answer then is, Mom, then you think about it. You spend time thinking about this, and we will have a relationship with you potentially when you can accept these truths. And when you can agree, yeah. Because
I told her the reason nobody's there is because we're distancing ourselves.
Good.
I mean, I went to EAP because of this. And I told her, you know, the answer that I was given is to separate, you know,
yeah,
and
nope.
As an adult.
I agree.
Keep you at a distance.
I agree.
You are toxic.
That's a good answer.
Patrick, it is God's way as well that after we have lovingly confronted with grace and truth and there is no repentance, then God's next step is separation.
Mm-hmm.
And the separation sometimes has more effect than the tears and the yelling and all the words that you've been rightly trying to use with her. And so I agree with you that separating to protect your heart is necessary. I'm going to gently challenge you, Patrick, about something else. You are correctly looking for reasons why you're falling into drinking and pornography use, but you are at risk for using those reasons as excuses. And I hear it in the way you're wording your description. I don't hear you taking strong responsibility that I am choosing to drink. I am choosing to use pornography again. You're telling me the reasons why you're kind of getting pushed in and falling in, and that, you know, will not help you regain that at least sexual sobriety you had before and the alcohol sobriety that you need now. So I challenge you to start right. taking stronger responsibility. I am choosing, no matter how many towns of drinking I'm going through, I'm the one picking to drink. It's nobody else's fault but mine. It's not even my mother's fault mm-hmm. that I'm drinking. She's influencing me, but it is yeah. not her fault, and I'm responsible to get the help to change myself.
Patrick, I want to challenge you to consider coming to our Every Man's Battle workshop in Washington, D.C. in January. You will find things that help you not just with your pornography viewing, but you'll find things that will help you with your drinking and with your self-confidence and with dealing with your toxic mother. It's amazing what men come to understand at that workshop about what drives them
mm-hmm.
and what causes them to do the things that they're doing. So thank you for your call. Book, you guys, what comes to mind?
I think healing is a choice for you, Patrick.
Okay.
It would be very helpful.
We're going to send that book to you, Patrick. So please hold the line. We'll continue with our calls right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the New Life member thank you gift of the New Life Journal, 100 Days of Peace, 7 Ways to Choose Healing, Growth Has No Boundaries, a Restoration Bible, and a New Life grocery tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits, like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. And before I go to Michelle in Austin, Texas, I wanted to just talk a little bit about helping New Life. I've mentioned it at the top of the hour. But I want to also just remind folks that when you make a gift to New Life this month, we're going to give you a copy of 100 Days to Freedom from Depression. And in these days of uncertainty, COVID, divisiveness, the world, I say, is upside down. There's a lot of depression in this world. And this is a 100-day devotional that just might help you face some things each day other than the things that you're dealing with. But we also want you to give because of what happens at New Life, at our workshops, when people go see a counselor, when they get these resources. Alice, read this testimony from a recent Restore attendee.
This is from Jessica. Before coming to this weekend, there was chaos in my home. There was anger and resentment with a little bitterness and hurt sprinkled in for good measure. I was wounded, afraid, and felt alone in the battle. I felt as if I was a martyr, a casualty of my marriage. This weekend has been difficult, but good. Our small group time was very helpful. Just processing things out loud, hearing myself speak it to others took a bit of the fear away. Having a plan empowers me. I'm leaving the workshop with hope and strength and the ability to walk into my home with my four beautiful children and take control of my life. I have the authority to establish boundaries so that I can feel safe. To any woman who has been betrayed, I would say that exposing your wounds is painful, but working through the pain brings healing. Go to this workshop. Do it for you because you deserve to be whole again.
Well, folks, that things happen at these workshops, and that one's coming up. The next Restore is coming up February 25th to 27th right here in Orange County. And just coming off of Every Man's Battle, the need is amazing. And these guys are, they know the damage they've done to their wife more today than they did on Friday. And I know they're yearning for their wife to find help and healing. So every gift you give will help us reach somebody else. And God is doing a mighty work. So thank you.
And I am witness that what Jessica said is true. It happens over and over again at Restore, and it can happen for you as well.
Okay, we're going to go talk with Michelle. She's in Austin, Texas, listens on a podcast. Hello, Michelle. How can we help you?
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I listen all the time, and you've really helped me, and I know you get this call a lot. I just have some different questions, some specific ones. But our oldest granddaughter, who's in the first year of college, she's running around like a lesbian. And we're going to be able to possibly get together with her for Christmas. During her Christmas break is what I'm praying about. And my thought is, I would like to take her and her, because I know you always say, keep a relationship with them. Also, that maybe they'll get over it by the time they're 23 if they're not precious. That's what I'm going on, those two pieces of advice. But I would like to ask them to get them.
Oh, Michelle, you're breaking up a little. If you can make an adjustment, and then we need you to start one sentence ago. Repeat yourself.
I said I would like to take them out during Christmas break and maybe just start asking questions when I get a chance. Like, where are y'all thinking about going with this? And things. I think her parents are Christians, too. And let them talk to me and listen. And then leave them with one word of advice. And wise advice, you know. That's my thought. And so that's what I wanted to ask you all. My husband is too heartbroken to do anything about it. I know that her dad's trying to. Her mom puts it all over social media, the pictures of her. So that's my question.
Does her mother post in celebration of what's happening with her daughter or coming against it?
I have no idea. No, she just puts on the, she came in this weekend to celebrate something.
Okay.
Some, you know.
So maybe neutral.
So everybody can see.
Neutral to positive. Michelle, tell us how close you've been to your granddaughter. What's the state of your relationship with her?
Well, I more or less raised her until she was 13. And then her mom, I was talking to a therapist about it. Her mom took her away from us. And the therapist told me that she assassinates our character and like saying, you know, you're too much like your grandma or something like that. So then the kids, the other two, don't want to be with us anymore either. And we've talked to the dad about it. He said, I'll fix this because, you know,
why did you have your granddaughter to begin with?
They've had problems with Child Protective Services.
Okay.
When she was young, she broke her arm and they blamed them, and so we took her. And also, another time, I got a.
Okay, we lost you.
Need to bring her. Are you? Oh, anyway, she did. They've had problems with her, but then when she was 13, she just forgot about me. Except I did a retreat with she and her friends after each year of school for about 5 years. That was the only time we ever got close each year, and then I would lose her again. So I really haven't had much contact with her since then, but I do text with her and stuff.
And Michelle, given this up and down past, how would you guess she would receive advice from you?
She loves me, and I love her. I think we have a lot of respect for each other.
Marlon, what are you thinking?
Well, I am thinking that this young girl, now college-age girl, woman, has been through a lot in her life. And I would ask...
She has.
I would ask questions, because it's my experience that a lot of people, females, choose a lesbian lifestyle because they've been hurt severely by men. And they desire to be in relationship, but a female relationship is safer than a male with uncontrolled testosterone, and they could have been harmed many times in the past. I would want to ask that question: who has harmed you? Who has hurt you? What are you afraid of? What do you find? These are just general things that I think of, not necessarily that you would ask them in this order, but what kind of a safety refuge do you find in this relationship? And quite often it is a question of, I want to be close to somebody, but I also want to be safe. And so that is a part of the questions that we need to ask. It's also very popular to be doing what she's doing right now. And it's the confusion with gender, the confusion with sexual orientation, and it is just rampant. Everybody, even down in grammar schools, are talking about this, and the teachers' unions are teaching this in our elementary schools. So it's a very confusing subject, and people are taught they can do anything they want. Ultimately, I would want to review the gospel with her, that and invite her into a personal relationship with Christ, after which we have to then ask, if I'm going to trust him for my eternal salvation, will I trust him for his guidelines for my life? And that is the way I would progress in a conversation like that.
And I would encourage you, Michelle, to separate those conversations out into two separate instances. So go to her, listen, meet with her and her girlfriend and hear them, build relationship with them, and then prayerfully ask what God would have you say next and how he would have you present the gospel as Mylan is proposing. I don't know that I would do it with the girlfriend present, and I would consider, is this going to be better in writing, in a phone call, or in another face-to-face conversation? So proceed with caution, because the truth needs to be given with so much grace for someone to be able to metabolize it.
That was good, Alice. Thank you.
What book could we send her?
Well, you know, the other thing you have to look at, Alice and Larry, is just how mature this girl is.
Yeah.
Because she could be in college, you know, 20 years old, going on 13 inside. So we also have to look at elements of immaturity and understand it'll take time for her to maybe hear all this. I just wanted to toss that in. We just don't know.
I want your book sent, because figuring out how we love and why we love the way we do and what to do about it will be very helpful for this young woman.
Okay. Thanks, Alice.
Michelle, we're going to send that to you. And I just also want to mention, before we take our next call, we have a workshop, Intimacy in Marriage. It's coming up February 11th to 13th right here in Orange County. And if you register by the end of January, you'll get an early bird discount. But give us a call. It's Orange County. Mylan and Kay are exceptional in this workshop, as is Steve Arterburn. And if there was more time, Mylan, I'd have you speak to it. But we're going to go to a break, and I want to go to another call. But that's a workshop you don't want to miss. So we'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. And a couple things before we take another call. We're here another hour. Give us a call at 800-229-3000. And if you're still holding, we'll work to get your call in and if we don't get it this hour or the next hour. So please hold on. Also on Wednesday, we're going to have a call with Jim Burns. And Jim Burns is really an expert in parenting. We're going to do a workshop with Homeward, his ministry, and ours together in January. And it'll be a great day to call in with your parenting questions. So Wednesday, if you're a parent or a grandparent and have questions, don't miss calling in or at least listening to that program. Okay, let's go and let's talk to, I had a call all picked out, now it's gone. Just a minute here real quick. Okay, we're going to go to Valerie. Valerie is in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, listens on WFIL. Hello, Valerie. How can we help you?
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Better than we deserve. How are you?
Me too. Real fast, I'll try. I know you like us to be concise. My story is not concise, however. But in May, my divorce was final. I ran into someone at the market last week, and she said, "Oh, my goodness, by the way, I heard that he got remarried." And I said, "Oh, no. He has a girlfriend, but, no." Later, but I heard the entire story. She said, "Oh, I heard it was at the beach, and it was a secret, blah, blah, blah." So when I saw my two teenage boys a couple days later, I said, I heard this news. Is it true?" And they said, "Yes, Mom, and we were told not to tell you." So this happened in July, and so for 4+ months, they've been harboring this secret. Then they also admitted that they only met her in June, and the wedding took place in July, and their father didn't tell them until they were in the car on the way to the beach to get married. So I would like to know what to do. My 15, going to be 16-year-old boy and my 13-year-old boy. You know, I just told them my initial reaction was, "I'm so sorry that you had to keep this from me. You should never have to do anything like that. I'm so sorry." Anyway, that's my concise version.
What a shocking secret to find out about, and in the way that you did. Have you addressed it with your ex-husband?
I went no contact with him. About 4 years, I left in 2017 with a PFA. He's a textbook narcissist. There's no talking with him. So I did not text him or email him that I knew. No, I did not.
And so is your question about addressing it with your boys more so than addressing it with him?
Yeah.
Because you have no intention of talking to him?
Oh, there is absolutely no way to discuss anything reasonably with him.
The fallacy of divorce is that two people with children are really never divorced because they have children, and so there's this tie that is always there.
Yeah.
And hold on. What I would recommend that you do primarily is not try to fix, analyze, or solve problems per se, but ask your sons what they're feeling in all of this and empathize and learn to validate their feelings and ask them what they need in that feeling state. Because they're and validate for them how hard this is for them. And show them empathy that it would be very difficult to be a 16-year-old and a 13-year-old and have to toggle between two homes. And just empathize with them. You can't fix what's happened here. But I would just empathize and listen to their feelings and not talk them out of it. Just validate.
Are you also wondering whether or not you should consequence them for withholding the information from you?
Oh, absolutely not.
Ah, okay.
Do you think I should?
No, I do not. No, I think your boys were put into an impossible situation by their father.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, honestly, by both of you for what took place in the marriage and the divorce. So, no, I agree with you that discipline is not appropriate for this.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you, Valerie. I hope that helps. I hope you'll be able to do what Mylon suggested, validate their feelings and listen and just ask how they're feeling. That's great, great counsel. And I'm not very good at these books these days.
Well, the other thing I wouldn't do would be to discredit, badmouth, reflect upon her ex-husband and his new wife. Per se, I would want to ask the boys, how are they doing with that? What are their feelings about this new person in their life? And help them realize that they can come to you and talk any time.
Yeah.
And I would say Take Your Life Back is another very good book. But did you have a recommendation, Alice?
I'm compelled to add a troublesome angle. Valerie, I want you to take your decision to never communicate with your ex-husband again, to take that to God, because as impossible as he is to communicate with, that could put more pressure on the boys in this whole secrecy and communication. Mm-hmm. So please reconsider that for their sake, the boys' sake.
Yeah, and Alice, to that point, they do have to co-parent. There will be many things they have to discuss as parents of these kids, from education, schooling, choices, situations the boys get in, future relationships they will have, marriages, grandkids. I mean, it will go on for years. And so I love your advice.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
That's why you're on the show, Alice. That's just good stuff.
So you too, Mark.
And you know what, Larry? I have a guarantee. You know, you were talking about the marriage seminar in February.
Yeah.
And it's the 11th and 12th, and it ends on the 13th. But I have a guarantee for
everybody
attending.
Tell everybody what the 13th is.
Well, the 13th is Super Bowl Sunday.
That's right.
And now the guarantee is we will be done precisely at noon o'clock. And the game doesn't start until like 2 or 3 or something
hours
like
after that.
Yeah, and so there's plenty of places to watch it. If they come to this, they will not miss it.
And you'll invite anybody to your house.
No, I didn't say that. That was not a part of the guarantee.
Okay. That is a workshop coming up. One I didn't talk about, I just want to remind you, Emotional Freedom. It's an online one-day workshop. It's January the 22nd. And if you register by if you register by January 8th, you get $100 off that. So that's a great workshop as well. Steve and Chris Williams will be presenting that. And there are a couple other things. Oh, just a reminder, when you make a gift to New Life this month, we're going to send you 100 Days of Freedom from Depression. That devotional will inject you every day with God's truth and hope as a tool for working through your own depression. You might try some exercise and good eating while you're at it in December. That's not easy to do, so you might want to order.
Oh, you had to toss that one
books.
In, didn't
yes,
you? And he was looking at you when he said it.
He turned and looked at me.
I was, because I knew she'd beat me up if I looked at her.
Good, you're learning.
Oh, gosh. We love what we do here, and I want to challenge you, when you wake up tomorrow, to have this spirit. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, we need to do that more often than we do. So thank you for listening to New Life. Thank you, folks, for calling. Those who are on hold, we're going to get to your calls in the next hour. So we'll be back.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.